All right, folks, we are back. Thanks for tuning in. Joining us in the studio, Bruxy Cavey is a teaching pastor at the Meeting House and author of The End of Religion, and Nina Cavey, who is involved with Bruxy.
We've been seen together.
Time to time. You have to get the odd creeper at a restaurant that tweets a picture of you. It's been a while since I've been on the hot seat. I don't like to do that too often because, contrary to popular belief in the name of the show, I don't want it to be about me. So between September and December of 2010, I publicly processed my crisis of faith, and I interviewed a variety of celebrities, apologists, theologians, and authors. And the teaching pastor at the Meeting House and author of Vayner Religion, Bruxy Cavey, is on that list. However, I was in Israel during that interview, and I missed the chance to speak with him. So I thought we would allow you to interview me for 5 minutes. We just took a 25-minute segment.
Uh-huh.
See how that worked? Do you see how that worked? And now it's a 5-minute segment. So what do you have to say there, Bruxy? How are you and the Lord doing?
Drew, I guess we're putting the back bookend on your journey with faith in God.
Yes, because yes, it was what a year ago I came out.
Yeah, all right. So now let's start with the punchline and work back.
Okay.
I know that whatever you believe, you will believe it with a sense of intellectual rigor, but also doubt and skepticism, but that's whatever you believe.
Yes.
I just want to start right now and say, do you believe in God?
Oh, really?
Where I'm going to start? I've already given you the qualifier, which is whatever you choose to believe, you will believe it with a measure of doubt.
Right.
I want to just ask a yes or no question. Then we'll back up from there.
Am I allowed to cop out and say I don't know?
Well, then, yeah, you can. Well, you can say everyone doesn't know.
You haven't been running into the people I've been running into.
I mean, even Richard Dawkins, as an atheist, will say it is highly improbable there's no God.
Right.
And a theist says there's highly probable there is, and an agnostic says, I just don't know, and I don't even think I could get close to knowing,
right.
So I want to stay neutral on the issue. So how about we do it that way? Well, atheist, theist, or agnostic?
Okay, I don't want to stay neutral on the issue. Mm-hmm. I hope there is a God. I am not convinced that there is.
You're a hopeful agnostic or you're a doubtful theist?
Yes.
if you had to choose one.
Oh, between those two?
Yeah.
Hopeful agnostic
or a
doubtful
theist?
I think I'm a hopeful agnostic. I would lean towards that one.
Right.
I would. You know, when pushed with a label, I've said to people, right now I'm a red-letter agnostic theist.
Okay. All right. All right, good. Well, now we know where you stand.
All right, good. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. All right. Next, who's Jesus?
I've been told by smart people that he did exist, he did live, and he created quite a stink, and some of that stuff has been written down inside the Bible and outside the Bible. And whether he was a real person or not, the stuff that's been written down in the Bible in red letters, man, that's good stuff.
Uh-huh. All right, so it's a good story. It's good teaching. It's good ethics.
Yeah. And then people will go, well, what are you going to say? You know, Jesus gets to that part where he says, I'm God. I mean, hello, you know, he's going to pick and choose. You know, Jerry pick.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, well, now I don't have to say that.
No, yeah.
So Jesus is, there's good stuff about him.
Yeah.
What do you feel about who he is? You're not sure. You don't know.
Well, no,
the story is good.
Because then it makes me sound like some incense burning whack job. And, he's a good teacher. Now I understand. You know, for years we used to make fun of people, right? The James Dobsons of the world got me into that headspace of making fun of people who would say, he's just a good teacher. Mm. And now I go, wow, yeah, you know, he taught incredible stuff. And did he exist? Did he really live? I hope so. Is he the Son of God? I hope so. Is he God, part of the Trinity? I hope so.
All right.
But, you know, I mean.
Well, that's now, you started off the journey, would you say you started off as a theist who's now moved to agnostic? Or have you always been a hope-so agnostic who was just more active in the church?
Always, you mean? Are we talking about the 30-year run here of doing the Jesus thing?
Yeah, well, in your adult life,
I've done everything. I've done it all. I mean, I've been in the Happy Clappies. I've been, I grew up in the United Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I kind of come full circle. I used to, when I came out of the United Church and really became a Christian, at Teen Ranch, et cetera, and, said the Sinner's Prayer and the four principles or laws.
Spiritual laws.
I used to look back on the United Church people and take the mickey out of them because, you know, they didn't didn't really have a relationship with God. Mm. They were all about social justice and, you know, being nice to people and having great pies. Well, those things are, they're so much more important to me now.
Yes.
Social justice and pies.
Yes. Now has, me too. Well, at least one of the two. I'll let you choose.
Okay.
But the rest is less important. Is that fair to say? Or have you grown in what's important, or have you shrunk in some areas and grown in others?
Yeah, shrunk and grown in some. The deal is, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my frustration with those who have encountered God or tell me they've encountered God. Because either what they say is true and mm-hmm. I've been seriously ripped off, mm-hmm. or what they say is so not true mm-hmm. and therefore they all need a smack upside the head.
As far as the first option, is it not possible that it's true and you haven't been ripped off? I mean, does it necessarily lead to an inequity of unfairness that some people have experiences with God in some ways and others other ways?
Yeah, I think it does. You know. Mm-hmm. I think we are born to crave relationship.
Yeah.
We live in a world of relationship. We read a Bible of relationship about a God that we're supposed to be in relationship with. Mm-hmm. And the chasm in the relationship of this God that I'm trying to follow and me, this gap is so massive. And when you have other people that have it, the natural default in that is, what the heck?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Right. Which I grew up with. Saying, what the heck? Right.
But you've never had some tangible thing. And I quote you often, young man.
Yes, sir.
Because you said to me, it seems like all the Jesus people who have a microphone and a television camera have all encountered God.
Mm.
And wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who can represent the rest of us who haven't?
Yes.
So hang on to that one a little bit.
And please do. Don't stop.
But that kind of goes into Pascal's wager stuff, which is hard. It's hard, dude. You cannot hang on that long with that deal.
I'm trying to figure out how, I guess, everyone even asks questions from a point of view, and I'm asking questions as someone trying to figure out how you and I are different and how we're the same, because everything you say to me always sounds like something I can relate to, your experience and your lack of experience, et cetera, supernatural experience, and the questions that you're asking are the same. And at the end of the day, then, I say, therefore, I just cling to Jesus and call myself a Christian and say I believe in God, even though I know that each of those are qualified. I believe in Jesus, could find out he never existed, but I believe he did. I believe there's a God, could be wrong, but I believe there is. I'm going to move forward the best I can with what I believe to be true, even though I hopefully have enough humility and self-doubt to say I could be wrong on everything. But this is to the best of my ability where I land. And when I hear you talk,
that's
in the
not
process,
enough for me.
You know, see, that's what's interesting. I think we're both having the same experience riding the same train, and then you get off one stop before I do.
Yeah.
I can't go there.
Right, I hear you've acquiesced. You've gotten off a stop before I have. In the direction in pursuing truth. Yeah. No, you have. You see, that's what I think. I think, hang on to this train, man. We're trying to get to truth, right?
But you're the one on the hot seat today.
So then you're it seems to me that if you are wired for doubt, even if you were to have a supernatural experience, would you then go on to doubt that, wouldn't you?
Except in the case that I was hoping that God would provide something that would be undoubtable.
Wow. See,
he knows I'm wired.
I can't even imagine such a thing. Against.
Throw me a curveball.
Really?
Mess me up. Except the proviso on that is, because I always default to, were you going to kill one of my kids or some trauma or some, you know, and I'm good to die. I'm so good to go. If that's my proof,
yes.
Take me, let's go. Giddy up. Seriously, I'm ready.
Yeah. So you can imagine an absolutely convincing event?
No.
I can't either.
No, but I'm not
believe.
God. God's got a bigger imagination than I do.
Yes. Well, I mean, eventually, the promise is, if Scripture is true, that we will become known even as we are, or we will know even as we are fully known. That
post death.
That's right. We're not promised that this side of death. So I'm just wondering if.
But ask. What about all the ask scriptures? Ask. Ask and you shall receive, and knock and the door shall be opened, and pour your heart out. And we should be praying 24/7 and always.
Yeah.
When you get a deafening silence for 30 years, can you not, see someone going, hello?
Well, I mean, the Ask Scripture comes from both Matthew and Luke's Gospel. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't know that the coming of the Holy Spirit necessarily is the promise of either an emotional or visual or sensory supernatural experience, that the coming of the Holy Spirit is a promise that an inner miracle has happened, that we're indwelt and we're saved.
Right, and I've had people email me and tell me, then you are not a Christian, because a Christian who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit would not go down that far down the road of doubt as that you have gone.
No. Yeah, but that's not true. It seems to me that doubt is, that some of us have active minds that are always going to doubt everything, and as a no matter what we choose, doubt will become just an ever-present friend that's there.
Right.
But you are saying, it's interesting because I doubt all the time, but I know that if I were to...
Yeah, you go, eh, oh well.
I go, yeah, doubt, I know doubt will follow me whether I choose faith or non-faith, or I switch faiths,
right.
Or I'll doubt that. I'll doubt whatever I arrive at. So I'm wondering why, as someone who seems similarly wired with doubt, you're saying I can't move forward until God removes the doubt, basically.
I don't know whether it's that I can't move forward, because I think wrestling in the realm of doubt is still forward kinetic motion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that I've been doing what I've been doing for the last year, that doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty. And if that's the case, then does faith then not require an element of doubt?
Yeah.
And then you look at the faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
Well, two of those things aren't going to be required in heaven, so am I simply getting a foretaste of what heaven is like? Thomas Halleck writes about that in his book Patience with God.
Mm.
So maybe, you know, I don't know.
So you're saying faith is something that includes doubt.
Yes.
But you've earlier just said that you want...
Don't you try to trap me.
You said you want an experience that dispels all doubt, that is undoubtable. Where you say, there, now that I can't doubt, I won't doubt.
You know what? I'd like a respite from my doubt.
Sure, you're tired. You're tired.
I'm exhausted.
You're supernaturally tired. Yes.
Yeah,
okay. So, that's good. You need a rest.
but here's the deal. In putting this out there and moving into whatever this rest from doubt is, and I don't think I'll ever rest from doubt, but I would like a bit of a break. But in embracing this and naming it and all this kind of stuff coming out, as I've said to many people before, the interesting thing is not the crisis of faith that I'm going through.
Hmm.
The interesting thing is the sociological response, or the response from others,
absolutely,
to this crisis of faith that I'm going through.
I'd love to talk about that, but we
just
don't have time.
Crazy fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, people... Well, I think it's a crisis for them. I don't see the crisis with you. I see someone who is wired for doubt, will always doubt, but also has faith and has reached a point where you're saying, I just have to admit that I'm tired and maybe admit a lack of certainty that's always been there anyway. And I'm continuing to do my best to move forward and wrestle it through. So for me, that never felt like from an outside observer, I'm not in crisis with you saying, oh no, Drew is questioning. Drew has doubts.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a crisis of faith for everyone else. It's a crisis of your faith for them.
Yeah.
But for you, I don't see the crisis so much as just a tiredness. And that's okay. It's a long haul. It's a long road. We get tired in marriages and in parenting and in everything significant in our lives.
Yeah, good call. I think, as I've said before, and we'll have to finish on this, there's a season of life that I'm at where I'm allowing myself to go down further that road of doubt, because I wouldn't allow myself to go too far down that road because I was trying to raise kids in a sort of Christian environment, and you don't go too far down that road because you got to get, you know, that safety line's got to get you back there because you don't want your family to fall apart.
Yes.
Well, the kids are now older, 18, 22, and so you're now, you're owning it a little bit more,
sure,
I think.
Sure. So then, if Christian means Christ follower, would you call yourself a Christian?
No. Well, I wasn't even calling myself, I wasn't using that word because of the amount of, you tell me what a Christian means and I'll tell you whether I am one, right? That kind of deal.
Okay.
But am I a Christ follower? Because the red letters hook me.
Mm.
The stuff that is written down that said that people said that Jesus said, I go, that's some good stuff.
All right.
Good stuff. So am I still trying to be a Christ follower? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's helped me try and figure out who you are now.
Are we okay?
We can be friends.
Are we all right? You and I okay?
We're good.
Folks, that was awkwardly short for such a big issue, but that's the way I wanted it. I want to say thank you very, very much to Bruxy Cavey and Nina Cavey for joining us, the first husband and wife co-host team I've had in the last. And no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Shirley, I jest. Stop calling me Shirley. Always appreciate you coming in, Brux. Very few people can, you know. Mm-hmm. And Nina, very few people can be putting up with Brux. So thank you for that as well. Really enjoyed the discussions we had in your area of expertise. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Well, stay with us.